something
well,
like
the first that. The first thing I want to know is you were born on the 14th of June.
1904. Paulding.
Okay, where were you born?
Abbey Lane.
That's in Bow.
That's in Bow.
Okay.
This is
Stratford. Yeah, just missed the age, obviously.
Now when?
Bow and Bow built.
John.
What happened next? The next thing that happened as such was when Dad died.
That's right. No, well, there was lots of things happened before that. The first thing I remember when I was born is that Mother, they wasn't so bad off. I think Father was working.
What did he do?
He worked in the skin factory, Rice's, in Let Road, and he worked with Mrs., you know.
Fur factory.
He worked with Mrs., you know what died?
Mrs. Berlin.
Mrs. Berlin in Stratford, she's dead now.
Yeah.
He worked in this factory, everybody knew him in Stratford. And he worked in this fur factory, and then all of a sudden, everything seemed, Mum used to take in company, like, you know, like you might do. And a friend used to visit, and we didn't used to do bad out of it, you never finish a big like that, you have, yeah? Penny with a lot of money there. And then all of a sudden it all disappeared. They come and down and told Mama one day, he fell out of work, I can't tell you how he fell out of work, but he started to lose his mind. See, this is the start of it. Well, he'd been in there, he'd been in the South African War, and he's got the Queen's Medal with two bars. Now I've got the papers, just, you can have a look on these. I've got his papers at home now. He was there, first of all, he was in the Royal Old, the Queen's Regiment. He was in the Queen's. And then he must have opted out of that and joined the artillery. Well, then they wanted, this is where the commandos come from. The Boers used to hit and run, sort of like. So they wanted mounted infantry, they called them, you know, to keep up with the Boers or chase them around, whatever happened, see. So he was in this. Well, he suffered, as far as I can make out, with head wounds. Now, what I knew about medicine in that particular time, it wasn't much. Especially as applied to the heads. No, well. And, of course, he seemed all right when he came out and married Mother and that. The first thing I remember, what Mother told me, was they had me dressed up in a red cape and a jockey's hat. And she used to go meeting when he used to finish work on a Friday night. And they used to leave me outside the pub called the... What's the name of the pub? Yoke? Harris? Top of that road, across the road. The pub, you see. Anyway, I'll remember the name of the pub in a minute. Leave me out there in a pram. Well, they was with in company with Mrs. Archer, somebody who lived round by us. This is what Mother told me. And, of course, they went outside to see if I was there, and I was gone. Well, a cut ran down the side of it. There's a forge next door with a blacksmith. And then I remember this. And there's a woman halfway down the cut with me, got me in my pram there, but she got run him, she was. And she caught up with her and started to give her a bashing. The idea is she's going to take the clothes and chuck me in the cut. See, I mean, because the clothes I had in must have been, you know, good clothes.
Yeah.
But that's about as far as I know as with what Mother said about that particular time.
Any idea how old you were then?
No, I was in a prayer. I've been just about born, I suppose, because and long because at that particular time everything seemed, you know, when we I wouldn't have clothes like that. Father must have been working, you know, they were doing all right. I suppose I had a red coat.
That's something, do you remember being told about rather than remember?
I was told about that.
Right.
I don't remember that, so I must have been very young about that time. Anyway, I had a red coat or something on there, and, a jockey's cap or something, or whatever it was. And then, of course, things were doing all right, as I told, they used to come home, my father, and they used to bring the kids in out of the street when he was working. And he'd say, put a kettle on, Liz, and I would give him a feed up, you know, and he'd say, try to put my boots in, or mine, mostly. But George's or anybody, he's mostly mine. Clothes and that, and you fit the kids up in the clothes, what you can find. And he'd say, it's all right, Johnny. He'd say, I'll take you up top and buy a pair tomorrow, which he used to do. He never broke a promise. And I went to try the boot on, and something old up the toe. And I looked in the toe, there's a penny stuck up the toe. This is the sort of larks you used to get up there.
Hmm.
And when he came home, all the kids knew him. There was a race out in the street, and then all the winners and losers, they all got something, a lot of them. They all had, not only the parents, but everybody did. I mean, Ricey and Webby and the people who used to live down there, everybody knew him. Of course, most of those people are dead now. I'm 79 in June, so I tell you. But anyway, they all knew. But then the first, next thing I heard about it was that apparently he'd been standing up the top of Abbey Lane, and one of the blokes used to have a flour mill, was Rogers, on there, and he'd stand out in the road, supposed to be directing the traffic, see, is what the police said. And one of the drivers on one of Rogers' car and horses chucked a flour bag over it. And apparently they told me that they'd taken him away. See, this was in Clavering. So of course when Mother found out what had happened, I told my Uncle Jim, and they went and sorted this bloke out. That's what I don't know about that. I remember that happening.
Where did your father get in the police?
Yeah, he got in the Dock Police. They come out of the war, I'm telling you. What happened from then, I can't tell you. But I think that's when he started to go.
Sorry,
when they worked in Rice's afterwards.
Sorry, when was
it?
Always
before that.
He's talking about the African War.
No, when your father was caught directing the traffic or whatever?
Yeah, this was... Oh, I wasn't very old then. I was coming up for about... between 4 and 5, but I remember this all right because of the going on. Anyway, he came home. And, next thing I got in my mind is, because we was very, very poor. Another trick was he'd be out for 2 or 3 days. So he used to go off his head and then suddenly become sensible again, see. And he used to go out. One morning I remember we all slept in one room, all in one bed, with old shacks and things, you know, the top of us, and everything in a pawn shop. Every big pawn of all was in the pawn shop. And we had a couple of rooms, like one who used to have a kitchen. And he came in one night with a lamp, one of them old tin lamps they used to have, and they had a hole in the back, and he swung it on the wall, you know. And he got a broom in his hand, and Mother didn't like looking in his eye, and she said, where are you going with that? He said, we're going to move. So Mother said, we ain't going to move. Yes, here we are, he said, we're going to move. He said, I'll sweep up a bit. So with that, he goes out, you know, with the lamp and the broom. And all of a sudden, the door's gone bang. He's gone out, and next thing we heard, they picked him up again and taken him away. See, it was just a second time. Well, during that time, as I say, he was in Clavering. We moved over to Plaistow Broadway. There's a little church, St Mary's Church, right down the bottom of Green Street. You'll come to it. As you come to Plaistow Broadway, it'll turn around to Balham Street. Mm. You know, go towards Elements. Well, we moved over there.
Sorry, what's the name of the road you moved to then?
I can't, don't know, but you can find it on the map.
North Street, was it?
Aye?
Was it North Street?
No, you're thinking about, I'll tell you a bit about that in a minute. North Street was over at, probably by Bow.
North Street is down by St Mary's Road.
Is there? Well, I don't know about it. I can't remember, but I'll find it on the map. As you went round the corner, there's a little old church, been there donkey's years. It was sort of isolated, it was in another world. You know, it was a little old church, and we used to go around and play, you know, kids. Young kids, right? Play Romans in. Romans in, not Russians. It was Romans in English then. I remember that, yes, I remember that. We all the Roman soldiers, and the other mob was the English, and the English always used to win, so we used to want to beat the English. But anyway, we moved from there, at a shop on the corner, and as I was saying just now, you go in and buy a farthing of this. Farthing packet of tea, cocoa, or coffee was unheard of. You get a farthing drop of milk, then condensed milk, or you could get a farthing in a cup, where they have it chilled. Most of your tip-up cars just come around the street, and little dipper ins and put it in a cup, see? But anyway, you get a farthing out of this, you get a loaf, a penny, 3 farthings, some of them. And one of the things we used to do was to go down to Price's. They had a place around there where there's a baked bread. And we'd get a lump of rag or whatever you get hold of. And
where was that?
Aitney. This is a Plaistow. Where I lived over Plaistow in this street. And Price's was round there somewhere. If you go to Plasto, if you go to Pelly Bridge, do you know that?
Yeah.
There's a road runs down the right side of the railway down there, isn't there? Well, and if you go down there, there's a turn on the right hand side, take it straight into where I used to live. So, of course, we used to go that way to Prices. I can't remember exactly where Prices was now. But I know it was round about there. And we take Apeny, and I'd say, well, go and get out the broken bread. When we got there, down in our big bread was, of course, you know, when they're baking, they sort of cottage loads and the tops used to come off. So they couldn't sell them in the baker shop. So, you know, they said, bang them in the bread. We had enough bread in there to last us, you know, it used to get hard, but there's a cure for that, I'll tell you that in a minute. And when it got so that you couldn't carry it, it got so crusty. You ever had a kettle broth? Well, you'll hear of it now. It was this crumbly bread shoved in a cup with a drop of hot water poured on it with a bit of pepper and salt if you had any. And that was kettle broth, that's what we ate. And from there, I took them away. And then he came home, and while he'd been away, Mother had a row with a woman upstairs. And her old man hit her, see? Your mother. So, of course, when he came out, me, I told him.
So, you only lived in half the house? You lived just downstairs?
A couple of rooms.
Yeah, we downstairs, everybody.
How did you heat the water? What
could this be? Well, I used to forage around with boxes, I told Jim.
Everybody
used to cook on the market. I used to go down the market with boxes. And they had orange boxes and apple boxes and whatever it is, lemons. And I'd always get those boxes, wood. And what I used to do is to smash the sides out of it, knock the ends out, and make like a float seal toboggan. And I'd get the next one in, knock that out of it, so I'll put another one. I'd get all the iron boxes, one on top of the other, and up the string, pull them along the curb. On the pavement, pull them along, take them home. So we always had plenty of wood. But they get coal if you add any money.
Where did you get those?
Boxes in there, Green Street, the market's down there. Green Street Market.
Yeah.
And if you had any money, you could get £7 of coal for about 3 ounces of tuppence. You know, £7, I mean, just about like the firewood there. But that's how rich it wasn't. And of course, if you're a bit £14, well, they were so struck with such a large order. They lend you a trolley, push it on. £14, you could get a lot of kids around here. And as I was telling Jim, the coal cart used to come around, but you never had anything on there over and half an underweight. Half an underweight. You had quarters, and of course anybody bought half an underweight, well, they was rich, you know, they know the right sort of, top class, straight out of like the aristocracy straight in the wrong district. This is what this was. But we get back again, what I was saying, says I'll get tended up. When Father came home, I told him that the man upstairs it, Mum. He was, I couldn't have done anything worse, as it turned out, after it wasn't as I recall now. Because that downstairs he went, that's right, we kept upstairs. Downstairs he went, and he'd gone in the kitchen, and he was so terrifically strong, Father. And he was the last one to get upset, because I had... my uncle was booth players. Ben uncle was taking all the big yokels and all the rest of them in the booth. And anyway, he'll start lasted 3 rounds, they got £5 altogether. Well, you had to be pretty tough to be out on three rounds, because if you could knock them out in 3 rounds, you've got to set. But the point was that Father used to say, that's how far we're going to do it. And he used to say, I'll do my fighting when it's necessary, and he could. He picked the bloke up in the artillery, apparently, picking up like that, the corporal, and dumped him in the horse trough. That was something or other. See, some horse he didn't like, apparently. This got here. And I told him, he's walked downstairs, walked in the kitchen, picked the bloke up out of the carriage, he's going to crash. Knocked him as flat as a bleeding pancake, see? Sat on there, no. Don't get their bread. That's it, is it? But anyway, of course, that didn't do him any good. A couple of days afterwards, he went back to where he was before they let him out. So they kind of took him away again. So during that time, we moved down to... I've been to every school in Newham. Everyone.
Why were you changing school?
We moved about the borough.
Yeah. Yeah.
And from there... from there we moved to Abbey Lane. I don't know if I was getting used to Harry Lane. There was now, right opposite Premium School. Mama knows that, because she worked there. And we lived in the second house down, and there was a shop on the corner that sold wire traps for birds and, you know, rats and mice and all the rest of it. And the favourite trap the kids used to buy was one open, like a 2.5 circular. The bait in the middle, because it used to close up and bury it in the road, put dirt on top of it, written on, you can see with the bait, but when the sparrow got on top of it, of course it
catches. Why
catch it? Well, nobody could tell. I couldn't tell you, because when I'm not understanding what it's all about, I don't think there's been any. I didn't used to get up such capers as that, so I remember. If I did, it was very, very rare, because I can't remember catching anything. The only thing
you
I used to catch.
You took them to town hall,
you've got. Yeah, I've got a medal, but I wasn't old enough to remember anything.
They paid you for
them. I wasn't old. This is a time when Father was still alive, remember? I wasn't very old then, was I? So, course, we lived in Abbey Lane. Well, then they come and. Something happened, the power had gone out, and of course this Rogers thing, you'll have to sort this out, this is where this happened. This was the last time I took them away. And I took them away to Clavery Lunatic Asylum, and son, you know where it is, up a good maze, Barney Lane. And as I said, she went on a Saturday, and she says, tell me, they used to sit there, and if you get bits of paper and tear them up, chuck them up in the air, see. It wasn't violent, I think, man. I mean, padded cell, and they always said that to Mother that she was the lady that got the crockery sorted up. She said the cups and saucers were rotten. And of course, the visitors could buy tea, well, she complained about the state of the crockery. See, anyway, next time she said she went there, this was one of the other times previous she went, and she sorted them out, and the cups were clean, and she first. And she came back again next time. But anyway, she came out to tell me that he used to sit there with a throw a bit of paper in it and that, and if she took him anything in, he would say, oh, I don't want that, Liz. You know, he wasn't all that gone, because he recognised Mama. He said, I don't want that, Liz. He said, I had it yesterday. But she, he hadn't had it yesterday, because Mama hadn't been here yesterday, see? Mm. Well, she came home on a Saturday, as I said, and she said, if I'll be home Monday, John, she said, it's all right. Monday morning, 5 o'clock, there was a rat tat tat on the door, and I heard this piercing scream, and they're right through you. And of course, the telegram would say that they regretted that her husband had passed away.
There's no doubt. How did you forget to close
it?
There's a bus that actually drives through it now.
The bus is on the Sharping Road, isn't it? Or you can go from 17 Station, you know? 17 Station, you go down towards Barley Lane. Before you get to Romford, if you're going down to Romford, say.
Are you talking about Goodmaze or Clavering?
Clavering. If they called it Clavering.
This is where he's talking about now,
though. This is Clavering.
Barley Lane is
Goodmaze. Yeah, that's well.
Clavering's out beyond Woodford Bridge, I think it's called.
Is it? Well, wherever it was Goodmaze then. It must have been Goodmaze.
Yeah, they're both mechanisms.
Yeah, that's right. Well, it could have been Clavering, but I think it was. It was there, but I didn't go there so many times, I remember exactly where it was, or what it was, but I know it was one of them anyway. And further I know it was Clavering. But anyway, of course when she got this telegram and that, well, of course she knew he went potty. And of course, he just died, so still I wasn't very old, not then. And from there, we lived in Abbey Lane.
Can I ask at this point as well, I haven't said yet, can you tell me who else was in the family and how old they were?
Yeah, George was 4 and Elbert was just a baby.
And that's when you were 6?
That's about, just above 6.
Was there another one who died?
Yeah, Elbert. Oh, we had a brother. Between George and Elbert,
When did he go?
He died between. Well, yeah, you've got me there, because I mean, I may probably be very, very young. Then, sometimes.
Before you die? Before your death?
Yeah, it'd be between Elbert and George. There's 4 years between them. So it could have been, about 2, I suppose. Or something like that.
Did
he
die
of?
Do you know what he died of?
No, starvation most probably, because that's what was happening. Mm-hmm. You know, most of us were the same. starvation. So I said, Mum used to go out shoring and work for the Jews, washing. Sometimes younger than I was, because I was getting a bit older than six now. And we moved from there. It happened in the first turn on the right as you went down Abbey Lane. And I can't allow my feet in the name of turning, but I can, if you look at an old map of London. But I will do it, I'll come back to the names of the attorneys. And my people came out of Manchester, and a lot of the people lived up in Manchester, my name. And of course, mostly they were girls. And, I had three aunts there, and then one married Pickup, one married Leach, and one married, these are those sort of names they had up there, Leach, Pickups, and Cummins. And they're the names, but that's the names they adopted for their husband. Well, Louis, Lizzie, and another one, or one, Louis married a bloke, he had a shop in Bury, but it's not very far from Manchester, actually, is it? Bury? No, she had a shop there, it's not far from Manchester, it's maybe on the outskirts of it. But anyway, I digress. They came down to the funeral, and, well, there's plenty of room up here to bury him, brought him home. All those, why, I mean, they had a reason, I suppose. The coaches were outside to pick up Mum and Pa and all that stuff, and they cast him out of Chingford Mount, see, they buried him out of Chingford Mount, but I didn't go. I stopped the team like them, and, because I've got money like all my eyes and that I've never seen. But I used to send, Grandmother used to send us something for Christmas, mostly. It used to be like an horn, like the cow might have, and it was olla, and it should be filled up with chocolates, you know, at Christmas time. This was. Apparently, she used to live down there, and my grandfather, he was 84 when he died. And I've got a photo of him at all. Oh, you see it, isn't it? The iron grey man, upright, he was. And he used to work in Belsey, the bench factory. And he went down there, apparently. I don't know whether how true this is, but the secret of this bench was taken down to Manchester. You know, he used to cook the thing up. There was only small firms as far as this particular time. Well, they would have the funeral, went to Chingford Mart, took all day getting there and getting back again. And I remember my Aunt Lou, the youngest one, a lot taking me up the top of the pine, some sweets. They were holding me in, so I couldn't be very old, I'll tell you. And then, of course, they disappeared. I never saw them again. The only time I saw those was when they came down for the funeral of my Uncle Jim, which was the youngest one of the lot. The youngest brother. There were six, seven brothers.
That's your father's brother.
Father died. Yeah, my father's brothers. Father died. They were all in the war. The youngest one got 1948 in war. The youngest one, Ted, got killed. And, of course, the others, they're all dead now. But one went down to Wales, changed his name to Williams, lived at Port Talbot. I went digging coal. And the other one, he came up here in Lodge of Elba over at King Edward Road. Do you remember him?
Do you remember about your father? You're wasting your plate.
That's right.
You remember Albert?
Albert?
Yeah, he came up. He came from.
You don't remember the one that came from Wales?
Oh, no.
Well, anyway.
Okay. You talk about.
I got the where the funeral was.
What was the next thing that happened? You started. There are two things I know of after that. One is you started going away to various workhouses and whatnot.
I'm doing that
and
all the
other
time.
Was when your.
The first one we went in was Abbey Lane, the top of the road.
Now, did you go in as a whole family, or was it just you, or what?
Yes. Now, before father died.
Yes to what? Yes, just
yes,
you.
Yes, I'm going to tell you. Before father died, we got chucked out and we slept aside a cut. Now the cut at Abbey Lane, you see down at the Yarra football ground at the bottom, and right
when
opposite.
When you say before he died, you mean well before?
Yes, yeah. He slept the south side of us and mother and us three kids. And of course we knew we'd have to go in, right opposite was a workhouse. See, but only for adults, only for children.
So
he's a workhouse in the Langley House.
It's a workhouse at Abbey Lane.
Yes, right at the top of Abbey Lane was a workhouse. Because yeah. I remember this. You used to look over the top of the palings and look down to it, down into a sort of a courtyard. And there was a boy in there at the same time as me, chopped his finger off, chopping wood on a block. You know, he had one of those meat cleavers, what the butchers have. And he chopped his finger off on a block. I don't remember that, because he had his finger on the block and well, I was there with him. And, well, he wants to listen, so I'm telling him. And then from there, I think Mama got us out. That's right, she got a job.
And what are you going?
Mama, Father got us
was
out.
Was it because Father was out of work, or because he wasn't earning enough money?
That's right, she was out of work. Well, then, they got us out, Mum and Father did, they got us out, and we lived down the bottom of this turn in Abbey Lane at this particular time. I've got to go back a bit to this, got to get mixed up with Rossier Road, right down the bottom. Lived in Biggerstaff Road, in Auckland, Ball Road. I tried to get from there. But I went to Freemill School, just get Freemill tickets, you know, all of them. But the only thing about it, then China didn't meet yet, doing holidays and weekends. Just get them a ticket for a breakfast and a ticket for dinner. Yeah. But you wouldn't get only for the weekend, and you wouldn't get number of holidays, not like they do now, they keep the school places open, don't they? But then, of course, he expects you to fast or something, provide you
for
get men of doubt heaven and something to feed you.
When you went into the workhouse, what sort of, how long would you have been in it the first time?
I wouldn't have been in it too all that long. I know you went in there and they, first thing they claim this being next to godliness, let's craft us up, see, in case we was lousy. Well, he wasn't lousy, but we were dirty, and we was angry. And we just had big mags in the particular time. Some of the guys were better than others. And this one didn't seem all that bad, he felt like the wreck next of it, but I wasn't in there all along. I was in there at the time that kid chopped his finger off. And Mother got us out, and we moved down to the first turning down Abbey Lane on the right hand side. I've got to find the name of this because it's where the last house down the street. On the corner was a shop, Roots, I think the name was. Roots. That was the name of the shop, if I remember right. And from there, Father started to carry the lamp about to get started off. That's what I can remember what the start of it was. And apparently he'd gone up the top, and of course the flower bag was chucked over him. He tried to hold the traffic up. This is when he started to go. And of course the lamp is just. And then when we moved from there down to the last turning, opposite Freemill School, if I remember, because that's where we got the telegram.
Is this when you came out of the workhouse?
Oh, out of the workhouse, yeah. We lived in. I forget the names of the turnings down every lane, but an old map will show you.
Was it that you've not now got another job?
Who?
Your dad. Is that why you moved out?
Yeah, he got us out. Because either he or Mama got a job, I couldn't tell which it was, because it's a bit of a job, I remember all of it. But everything was happening fast, you've got to remember.
You kept being put out.
I wasn't, no, we'd keep on in and out. Yeah. I went to that school.
How fast did they put you out? Was it sort of within a week? Didn't have money?
Yes. What?
Yeah.
You
paid the rent,
you was out. And we never had any furniture, only a couple of orange boxes, where it was a blackbird coming here. What is it? Crows, huh? Anyway, I never had any money for this or that crap. And what Father would do, sometimes I'll say, when he was all right, he would stop out for 2 or 3 days at a time. And he used to go out and get jobs wherever he could get them. And one particular morning, as I say, we was all sleeping in bed in the same house as where he'd gone out and came with a lamp. So he came out. And they said he's recovered, so he came out. And he was out for 2 or 3 days. And when he came back, we were all in bed. And he said to Mother, get up, he said, and light the fire, Liz, he said, and we'll have some breakfast. He said, well, we ain't got any money. So he said, well, look under that newspaper, he said. These are the sort of games you like to play. Mm. And we had a newspaper on top of orange box. And when Mama lifted up the newspaper, 15 shillings under there. What he'd earned being out on a pretty work on a pitch barges. you know, probably night and day, I should imagine, for 15 shillings. And so, of course, we got out and I went to the shop and got
you
coal.
Say,
and
you say working on the pitch barges?
He worked 3 days on the pitch barges. That's the one I've never, I got this 15 shillings.
Yeah, you say out with unloading barges?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
On the cut?
Yeah, carrying them on his back or whatever they did. Well, not to say, I think it was unloading them, but of course, not being here, I wouldn't
when
know
you,
what.
Sorry, when you say the cut, do you mean?
A river. Canal.
Which one?
Canal.
One near Stratford or one?
Cut.
One Abbey Lane.
Yeah, but of course you go right the way round, so
yeah,
you couldn't pick any particular special.
Yeah.
That cut at Abbey Lane would go right the way round till it came up the bottom of.
They do, yeah. There's
it came up into St Lennon's Road, Poplar.
Hmm.
See? All those cuts that crisscrossed. You could walk down that one at Bow, for instance, and come all the way round and come up in Stratford. Well, it goes down and gets you around a big pool of park, basically, mm-hmm. all round.
Okay.
See the exact place where they took the, they did the pitch barging, I don't remember. And of course, this thing, next time he was out, so they come and told us that they picked him up again. He was up in Stratford, I suppose, holding the traffic up or something again. And I took him away to, well, that was Clavery or Good Mays, it could have been Clavery. It was Clavery, I think it was. And because he was in there, and I sent Mummy to go and see him. And as I told him when he was in work, well, all the kids' property, everybody did. Nobody, he never sent no to anyone.
Remember,
What did your father look like?
Yeah, he was a 6-footer.
Okay.
Strong. Strong as a lion. He'd pick you up in one hand, he could. Yeah.
Can you remember things like the colour of his eyes and his hair?
What?
Can you remember the colour of his eyes or his hair?
Yeah, blue eyes, fair hair. And, yeah, he was a strapping man, he was strong. Gentle as a lamb, especially with babies. And
He did to me.
He got the Johnny, you'll see. He did to me. He's in the Queen's for a start. The Royal Fusiliers. They got a bomb for their that batch. Well, used to have, they bought them now. But they used to have a bomb for the flare. And he's on the Royal Artillery, or Royal Field Artillery, I think it was. Royal Horse Artillery, one of them. And that's how he got this hat, because they picked him out, I suppose, to train him to ride horses and chase the boars. He was sort of commandos. This is where they got the name from, commandos, because the boars used to do the same sort of log. Well, around old Johnny, I've got to get it and show you.
I've got some stuff now up to where your dad died. What I'd like to get some idea now is, between then and the things like going out in the workhouses and that period, your mother remarrying again.
That's right.
And up to either when your mother died or when you got the army, that sort of time.
Yeah, she was getting it over, it takes some of that. Well, my poor mother got married again, and I say you should be out of work all the day, and then she used to stop out of a night when she was most probably caught in. My stepfather, see?
Okay.
And we lived in Biggerstaff Road down the bottom of Ward Road.
And this is where you moved to when you came out of the workhouse?
No, father's dead. Whereas we moved down there.
Okay, well, so you moved after your father died again to this place?
Well, we lived down Cullen Street too. You know Cullen Street, that's right down in Angel Lane, opposite the Royal.
Yeah.
We lived right down the bottom of there. Second house, the house right next door to where my mother-in-law lived.
You want to know where you lived after your father died?
Well, I'm saying, we went from there
When you were moving, I get the impression you were moving every few months.
We were.
And it was just because you had trouble paying rent.
That's right. Well, we moved from there now, I got it now. We moved there from there, round to Bromley by Bow. Otty Street. And there was a little turning off the main road, Hancock Street. And to get to into Hancock Street, you had to go around High Road, Bromley. There used to be a church around there.
John,
and a pub.
Do you want another cup of tea?
Yep.
Otty Street was the turning off Hancock Road. It used to have a pub on the corner holding off licence. And the other shop at the corner was a coal shop, you know, where you get the £7 and £40 of coal either in a bucket or in a trolley.
Okay. What I want to know now is the progression after your father died, where you went and what you did. You say your mother started courting.
That's right.
But when was that? How soon after father died?
Oh, it must have been... might have been a year, about a year or so, I should think. Mm. And then, of course, we moved down to, went round to Bromley by Bow. Oh, no, we didn't get there yet. No, we went down to Biggerstaff Road. From Biggerstaff Road, this is where the trouble started. And as I remember, I told you, we used to sleep in a bay window, and there was no glass in the window, just brown paper in this particular door. No, I used to sleep right under the window, because the old pair slept aside of me. And Mother used to reach in and shake me, wake me up, and I used to get up and
Was it just there was one place where there was no pane in the window?
Well, there wasn't many panes in the other. But,
was it nearly all?
And reach over the sash. It was right near the doorway as you went up to. It was a forecourt in the front, the bay window, and the bay window nearest to the door as you went in the street door.
Yeah.
See, because the room we occupied then was the first room as you went into the house itself.
Yeah.
So you just shake me, and of course. She got a few bob and cots where
sorry,
it was.
The window there was, you're saying, was mostly bits of brown paper?
Paper, that's right. Well, I said, sleep under this. And of course, she used to be out courting. From there, we moved down to. Because we still hadn't got babies. She hadn't married still. She's off across. From there, we moved down back to Abbey Lane. And that's right, Abbey Lane. And Mother now was stopping out late hours, and we used to sit out the passage and watch the rain pouring down, freezing bleak and cold. There was people in the room just along by us, in the warm room with lighting it on us. That's pretty kids out the passage, seeing half ago, eight, I suppose, it's coming up for eight, something like that. And they never come out and give us anything, or cups here and anything. And upstairs, we never had a penny for the guests. There's no fire, no light, no food, no nothing. And you know, sit out of the passage and wait for them to come home. And, of course, it dries up asleep. And you know, I said, what's the rain belting past the lamppost, you know, the light? It's remember all this.
Yeah.
And in the distance, I could hear a train, and it sounded like a banshee in the night. You know, this was about 10. Past 10 sometimes. It sounded like a bleak banshee, you know. Up a train, long way away, see. Because I didn't know what it was. I didn't worry much about that. But this is the sort of thing, sort of an eerie sound, you know. And now you feel about it. When you come in, of course, we used to put a penny in the gas. And of course, we couldn't afford mantles. They used to have a mantle and a shade over the top of the bridge. But we just had the fair mantle, and when you turn it up, you just flame heavy burn the ceiling down. Boy, you got a light, you know, so you can see what she was doing. Seeing them, what, a few coppers, yeah, she gave me to go and spend. Because I was going to spend them. From there, we moved again. We went to, from there. Well, we went. No, where did we come from there? Oh, we went round Bromley by Bow again. And the main road, Hancock Road, we lived in the main road. As we lived down Otty Street, you might as well say there, but this was the Hancock Road running along. It led into Free Mill Lane. It led down to the Cuts again. Free Mill Lane. It led to the Cuts. Well, the house we occupied was this side, right opposite the old license. Right next door to the beer shop. Of course, down Hartley Street, we lived our way down. But round Hancock Road, we lived right next to the door shop. And Miss downstairs was a family named Fry. See? And she used to ask me to go and get errands for her. Well, steak was threepence and fourpence a pound this particular time. And of course, you say fourpence steak, you've got to have the best fourpence steak. Well, she had the best. And of course, I used to pay threepence for a pound of that and keep the other penny. See, yeah. I mean, necessity is a funny thing, what makes it do. So she'd go shopping. But they used to be the same. Their mother got married. That started it all.
How old were you when you got married?
Oh, I don't know. I've been in and out of two or three. I've been to homes. I've been all over the bleeding show. But I'd also went to him when he was up. See? Because I used to run out and run and go and see my aunt, and they come and get me at my arms. See? And she got married. It went all right for a little while until...
Were you put in homes when your mother was still at home?
Yes.
What is
I
that?
Was out, and my mother used to go and work out herself. And if she could get a job, because they used to let them walk out, if she got a job, she used to get us out, see?
Yeah,
and,
where was your mother when you were in the workhouses if she wasn't with you?
I used to have workhouse for adults and
so she'd be in another workhouse?
Oh, yes.
In a separate one?
Yeah, because they used to take us down in sort of a Black Mariah every month, you know. Because I wasn't as busy as I was, mate, because I wasn't in here long enough, I thought. And it's taking sort of Black Mariah, and all the women used to be lined up in the workhouse with a white mop cap on and a blue penny, like, and a great big long wooden table and trestles, and the kids used to be sitting with their mothers, but and my mother used to save me the fruit or whatever it was they give her orange or apple or something, used to save it for me. But the other two of them used to go there, I don't know why, but they was a different place than me. But the only time I was together was me and George, and no one was any babies, I said. And of course, from there, after this, when he started his bonies, I was the main target, you know, Scouts then from school. And I was getting knives to sharpen or clean, there was iron knives. And you brought bath dust, brick
why,
dust.
Why didn't you and your stepfather like one another?
Like me?
Yeah, why not?
Because he couldn't get his way. Because he couldn't do as he liked. He used to get blind drunk. He was what they call a drunken monster. He'd go out and come home blind drunk, knock my mother about, smash her teeth and her face in, black her eyes. The time she went to Harbour Square with her sisters and got separations, they were separated for a little while, and then she had him back. And this went on as a repetition until when I went in the army, I suppose it happened. It's the same. I don't know then, but anyway, I could say it went on from then to that. I was the main target because as he knocked her about, so I used to break all the crockery, like chucking it at him. See, and if I could get me out with dick knives and forks or whatever I could get hold of, and of course he's a mate. I said, "What? He didn't catch hold of me, see?" Because if it did, I mean, it was my turn. Mm. Well, I used to play football at school, because I loved football. I'd play out in the street with a tin can or a rag ball or something like that. And one morning I said, one morning I said, well, I'm going to play football this morning, Mum, at St. Leonard's Road. So she said, well, take him in a cup of tea. She said, he might be all right then. So, of course, I said, no, I said, well, I'm not taking him in no tea. Because I knew what had happened. She said, well, go on, she said. So, well, just to please, I'll take some tea in. I said, well, I've got to go and play football for the school today. So he said, you ain't going to play for no effing schools, he said. So I said, oh, I am. And of course, with that, with a cup and saucer and the tea and a lot shot at me, he's still in bed. It is the following morning. And, of course, out I went. And of course, I played for school. When I got home, I got a passion. And all this passion, he wouldn't listen, he went up the top. And of course, I knew he was going to come home blind drunk. We used to creep out into the kitchen when he was out. And mum would get a piece of breakfast to eat, or whatever it was. Then retreat into the bedroom. We had a bed in there, and George and Emma was in it now, because they were a bit older. And George, as I say, was only 2 years younger than me. He sat creeping and that, and when he came home that night, he was, well, he must have been paralytic near enough. First thing he said about me, mother, see. Of course, after I'd done what I could like to kill him or injure him, I shot in the bedroom, see, and pushed the bed up against the door and got the other two kids to sit on it, and me and all, and he came and he bashed the door down. And I had to drop out of the window, I showed you the window, something like that, like right in the middle of the night, going past your copper.
Yeah.
He used to drop out of the window, cracked his old wood, and he didn't have boots all the time.
In the backyard or in the front?
Out the back, because we didn't have the front room. We had ice up in there, we had the back one. You know, they'd take and then, of course, the people downstairs was underneath us. Of course, we never used to lock any doors, not even the hard doors of a night. They was never locked, nor the street doors.
There's nothing to pinch, did
you? No. But on downstairs might have done, but they had to leave that door open. Not because we had to go out in the yard of the lavatory. See, we used to go down along the passage, turn left, out in the yard, and the lavatory was up on the right, see? Outside the lavatory. Well, of course, the door come down, and I went with it. I went out the window, and I fetched a copper. And the copper come around, and of course, from there, I don't know where we find him or whatever in the lecture, where it was anyway, mother summoned him, policeman, they summoned him. And her aunt, my aunt all came down, like my mother's sisters. I had to report three of them did. And they went to Harvard Square with her, and she had a terrible life. Of course, they got separation lines. Well, it was heaven. It was going bad, growing, we story, might as well say, but it was heaven. He wasn't there. See? So of course, I don't know what he comes.